Well, good morning. Welcome to our time of worship with our Heavenly Father this morning. I pray this morning that as we come together and as we seek to worship our loving God, we will have a great time as we step into His presence, whether that's us here in the building or those that are joining us online this morning. I pray we will all be blessed together as we worship our wonderful God. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Let's just open in prayer and then we'll stand and sing our opening song. Lord, as we begin our time of worship together today, thank you that you are our shepherd. Your love for us is unconditional and without end. We come to worship, to kneel before our Lord, our Maker, for you are God. And we, your people, belong to you in a relationship of love unbroken. So accept our praise and give us a glimpse of you this morning as we worship. In your name I ask it. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing our opening song. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. Let's stand and let's sing together. Thank you. your seats. I wonder if you can tell me what these four things all have in common. All right, so the first is the Football World Cup trophy. All right. Amelia Earhart. The Ark of the Covenant. And the fourth thing, Nemo. There's something that all four of those things have in common. Does anybody know? They were indeed lost. Remember the World Cup trophy? Actually, it got stolen, I think, rather than lost, and was found, I think, by a dog, I do believe, from what I've read. Obviously, Amelia Earhart trying to go around the world in an aeroplane, and from what we know, she crashed somewhere in an ocean and was never found again. Ark of the Covenant is lost. Wouldn't it be great if that was found again? Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody found that other than Indiana Jones, I think, was the person in the film that found it? And of course, we know of Nemo, and that was the film that we watched last night at Trailblazers. Nemo the fish that was lost and that was found again. One of the stories that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. The story of a sheep that got lost. Now, I wonder if anyone could tell me who the shepherd was in that story. Who does the shepherd represent? Go on then, Niamh. Jesus, that's right. The shepherd Jesus, who calls himself the Good Shepherd, that lays down his life for the sheep. What about the lost sheep? Who do you think that represents? Yeah. Us. People who have done things that are wrong. And that's all of us, isn't it? Because none of us are perfect, are we? We've all done things that are wrong. But what about... Even you, Terry. What about the 99 other sheep? Who do they represent? Well, again, people that have become friends with Jesus, who are being looked after by him. And it's really encouraging to know, isn't it, that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who sacrifices his life for the sheep. We've all been lost, but through the wonderful work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, who stood in the gap, and we're going to look at that a bit later, who stood in the gap for us, we have been found and have relationship with him. Isn't that exciting to know that we can move from a place of being lost to a place of being found? And it doesn't matter what we've done, where we've been, who we are. God loves each of us and every one of us and wants us to be found, and we can be found in him. Isn't that exciting to know that we can be found in Jesus, the person that came and that gave his life for us? So remember that story when you think you're lost or you don't know which way you're going? Jesus comes to the rescue, and he can move us from a place of being lost through him to a place of being found. He is our good shepherd. Matt, come and pray with us.
I was just thinking, as you were saying that, about the world that we live in looks rather lost, doesn't it? Do you think so? Our world looks rather lost. People running around don't seem to know what the right thing is. Very chaotic, isn't it, at the moment? But the most powerful thing we can do is bring everything before our Lord in prayer. Isn't it awesome that we can pray together and God will hear? So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we've got this warm space to meet in this morning. And we thank you for the richness of your blessings, Lord, that you pour out in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be observant and to see those blessings, Lord, so that we can see your hand in our lives day by day, that it might be an encouragement to each one of us, Lord, of the power of prayer. Father, as we look out into the world, there's lots of chaotic things going on. And so we lift a few of these things to you, Lord, but they are by no means all of them. Father, I pray for China this morning as they face a new epidemic of COVID. It's going round again, Lord, and the death toll is rising, and there are new strains of COVID, Lord, causing great chaos and suffering and hardship in China. COVID hasn't gone away, Lord, and we pray for your protection. Your protection upon the world, Lord, from this awful virus, Lord, that causes so much heartache and pain. We lift the war in Ukraine to you, Lord. We all thought it would be over by Christmas. Well, it's not. And what is it turning into, Lord? As the ground in Ukraine turns red with the blood of those being sacrificed, I wonder, Lord, when will it end? Father, you know. And I pray, Lord, that you would give compassion and love and kindness and wisdom to the leaders who have the capacity to make change in that area of our world, Lord. Father, we also think of those people suffering around the world with natural disasters, Lord. We're flooding in Auckland at the moment, Lord, where people have lost their lives. We pray that you will be with that community. And also in Nigeria, Father, where there is great loss of life through the extensive flooding. And of course, then on come all the diseases that come after flooding, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for the aid agencies and the groups of people who are willing to go out to these countries, Lord, and help provide the medical and the medication that's needed. Oh, yes, excuse me. Father, when we look around at home, there is also chaos. We think about our NHS at the moment that is breaking under the strain of so many people suffering. Families in distress, Lord. People looking for hope at their darkest and most difficult times, Father. Reaching out to our health service and feeling somewhat let down. We pray for an answer to that system. We pray that our leaders, our government, and those responsible, Lord, will find the answers through compassion and love, that they will put people first, Lord, above political gain. We think of the strikes and the discontent that is going on in our country at the moment, Lord, as people suffer with financial difficulties. And they are searching, Lord, for hope in a pay packet. But, Father, that's the wrong place to look for hope. We pray that you would be visible to them. That hoping and trusting in you, Lord Jesus, is a far, far more sure thing than simply needing more money. We think about our young people, Father, and we lift them to you this morning. They're growing up in a very confused world, a world of violence and crime. A world, Lord, where their confusion and gang culture and the number of young people carrying knives, Lord, they're all seeking to feel as though they belong, Lord, but they don't feel as though they belong in this world. We pray, Father, that through your people, a new type of group identity might be visible for them, one that incorporates the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and as their guide and as the truth that is in the world. Lord, we pray for all these young people. They need to come and know you, Father God, so that they can build a life full of hope and full of possibility, a life that will show the world who you really are, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray for this church and for us. We want to be an inclusive church in the face of a community which is divided, especially when we're challenged by the things that some people do and say, Lord. It's not always easy. Sometimes we'd rather stay away from them. We'd rather just be separate. But people are hurting, Father, and they are struggling. And you call us to go out and to love in the same way that you did, Jesus. Help us to love like Jesus and be less like us, to be salt and light, to accept and encourage each other on our walk and our journey with Jesus, to support and bear the burdens with each other, even if at times it seems, Lord, we're struggling. Help us to draw strength from your Spirit and to love one another. Father, we pray for those this morning that are struggling with illnesses, battling with diseases, or just getting old, Lord, and all of the difficulties and struggles that that brings. We pray for those, Lord, so many in our communities who struggle with mental health. We pray, Father, that your Spirit might break into those lives, bring hope, and find them, Lord. Find them where they are and bring them to you. Finally, Lord, we lift to you this church, its future mission, the children's work, the provision, its ministry, Lord, and we pray for Nick and his family as he embarks on this training. Father, hold him as you, in all the ways that he needs it, Lord, whether it's writing an essay or whether it's paying the bills, it doesn't matter what it is, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen him, guide him, and speak wisdom through him. Heavenly Father, we pray that this church would glorify you, the Father. May your kingdom establish itself here in Desborough through us, your children, Lord. Praise be your name, Lord Father. Amen.
We're just going to stand and we're going to sing a couple of songs now, and we're just going to worship God for who he is. He is exalted and he is Lord. So let's sing them together and just worship our great God. Thank you that you are indeed Lord, Lord of everything. Father, just pray for our youngsters as they go to their group this morning. Be with them. Be with the leaders that are taking them. Let them learn something of you. And help us to also learn something new from you this morning as we look into your word. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the first book of Kings, and it's chapter 18, and we're going to pick up the story in verse 19, and it says this: Elijah said, "Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who are supported by Jezebel." So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish, and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood of the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God." And all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "You go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood." So they prepared one of the bulls, placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noontime, shouting, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. "You'll have to shout louder," he scoffed, "for surely he is a god. Perhaps he is daydreaming or relieving himself, or maybe he is awake, away on a trip, or is asleep, or needs to be wakened. So they shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still there was no sound, no reply, no response. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." They all crowded around him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribe of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 large jars with water, and pour the water over the offering and the wood." After they had done this, he said, "Do the same thing again." And when they were finished, he said, "Now do it a third time." So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed. "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself." Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God." Before I just share a few thoughts around that passage, we're just going to stay seated. We're just going to sing this song through a couple of times just to be still in God's presence so that we can hopefully hear from him something new and something fresh this morning. Thank you, Brian. Today, we're continuing our mini-series, seeing what we can learn from some of the prayers in the Bible. And if you remember, a couple of weeks back, I shared a verse that would set the scene, hopefully, for this entire series. And it's this one. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. God is our help in times of trouble. You know, prayer needs to be a natural, everyday part of our life. So the story that we've looked at this morning, what's the backstory here? How do we get to the point of confrontation on a mountain? Well, Ahab was the current king of Israel, who had complete disregard for the Lord, turned his back on him, and began worshipping the sun god, Baal. We were into a third year of drought after Ahab was confronted by God's remaining prophet Elijah, who told him that there would be no rain until he gave the word. And Ahab spent those 3 years searching for Elijah, who got into hiding and under God's protection. Now we see the day arrive when rain would finally return. The people of Israel would again be reminded of how awesome Yahweh God actually was. There would be no doubt as to which God was real, alive, and active. Elijah had the guts to stand up and be counted. He didn't do a Jonah and try and run away. He confronted the king and called him and the Israelites out on their worship of idols and false gods. They climbed the mountain used for sacrifices, and Elijah sets the test. He lets the prophets of Baal, all 450 of them, go first. Call on your God and see if he answers. All day they called and shouted, danced, cut themselves, getting even louder and louder. But no response. Nothing. And quite frankly, they could have gone on like that for a month, and still, there would have been no answer. And that's the thing with false gods and idols. We can spend a lifetime chasing them and never be satisfied or get the answers we seek. Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and dust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Remember the parable of the farmer who ran out of space to store his grain? He said he would tear down his barns and build bigger ones. Then he could relax and enjoy life. Accumulation of more and more. To what end if we don't have a rich relationship with Jesus? Think about the desires of your heart. What are you storing there? None of us knows how exactly long we've got yet left to live. Are we endeavouring to live every day as though Jesus could come back at any moment? Okay, so back to the story. We now come to Elijah's turn. He starts by rebuilding the Lord's altar, preparing his sacrifice, and then drowning it all in water. Not once, but three times. Then he prays. His prayer was grounded in a relationship with the living Lord. He didn't have to put on a big show to get God's attention. God was already there. There were no long words or flowery speech. His prayer didn't go on for hours. In fact, it takes less than 20 seconds. All this reminded me that sometimes we can overcomplicate things. Have you ever thought that Jesus simply wants to hear from you. He wants you to check in with him occasionally. It's not about using the right words. What are the right words anyway? Jesus just wants you to be you. Note here that Elijah didn't pray for fire. He didn't say, okay, God, your turn. Set fire to this sacrifice. Please consume it. Then we can all go home. So what did he pray? Well, firstly, I see that Elijah prays for affirmation. Verse 36 of our text reads, prove today that you are God and that I am your servant. Lord, affirm your love for me today. Remind me that I am yours and that you love me. Show your love through me today to all those I interact with. That's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? This wasn't a self-glorifying thing. Elijah wasn't showing off. He simply wanted to make it plain that God was at work and that he answers prayer. Nothing is impossible for God. Even setting light to a bull drowning and surrounded by water. You know, sometimes when we're having a bad day or facing a challenging time, it's good to be reminded that we can rest in God's presence and his love. As we affirm our love for him, he affirms his love for us. You see, it's all about relationship. So ask yourself this question. What is my relationship like with Jesus this morning? Am I actually in one? Or is God someone I come to just when I need him? You know, what's more, we were created for relationship. We are relational beings. God wants a relationship with us. Right from the off, when God created Adam and Eve, we are made in God's image to commune with him. He wants a relationship so much with us that he gave his one and only son to die on a cross so that you and me could be reconciled back to him. Romans 5:8, a piece of scripture many of us will know off by heart. But God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. And when we have a God-centered relationship with him, surprisingly, all our other relationships become that too. Prayer being vital to those healthy relationships, both privately and corporately. Now, folks, if you take nothing else away this morning, heed this. A godly relationship should encourage us to pray more. A godly relationship should excite us to pray more. A godly relationship should equip us to pray more. And a godly relationship should enable us to come together to pray more. Amen? I'm going to say that again. A godly relationship should encourage us to pray more. A godly relationship should excite us to pray more. A godly relationship should equip us to pray more, and a godly relationship should enable us to come together to pray more. There are so many things we could and should be praying for, but let's start with ourselves and with each other. Now, before you say, I wouldn't possibly know how I could pray for so-and-so, I don't have the words. I mean, I haven't a clue what they need praying for. Scripture here can come to the rescue. So here's what I want us to do. Let's take a scripture. And I've picked Colossians 1. Now, I could have picked 1,000 scriptures. This is one I've been reading. So just bear with me for a minute. Here Paul is giving thanks for those in the Colossian church who have heard the hope found in Jesus. And it says this: "For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you." Get that? We have not ceased praying for you. "And asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." So why pray? Well, here's the really exciting bit, and this is what got me excited. Paul goes on to say, he has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah! Now, you don't look or sound as excited as I was when I read that. He has rescued us and transferred us. We have redemption and forgiveness of our sins through what Jesus did on the cross for us. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
That's better. Folks, we need to get this morning. Because this should excite your soul. It should set a fire burning within you. He has rescued us. Whether you know it or not, we were all going to a lost eternity without God. But the wonderful thing is this: something that I cannot understand, something that I will never understand because I'm just a puny human being. We have been rescued and transferred. Hallelujah. God has redeemed us. Isn't that wonderful? And that should excite you. And if it doesn't, I pray that the Holy Spirit will just ignite your souls this morning. That you will take that and you will allow it to seep into your very being and be reminded of exactly what Christ has done for you and for me. And you know, this is a text that we can use to pray for others. There's so much in that, and I could spend the next hour unpacking it, but I don't have the time. Paul and Timothy prayed without ceasing for their fellow Christians. Can we pledge to do the same? So I want to just spend a minute or so this morning, and I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to look at the person to your left and to your right, and I just want you silently, in your own hearts, to maybe use some of that, to pray for the person sitting on your left and on your right, that God will do something amazing in their lives. Pray that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. They may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. That they may bear fruit in everything that they do. Be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so we can endure everything, while joyfully giving thanks to him. Hallelujah. Because we should be joyful Christians, shouldn't we? When we think about it, we have so much to be thankful for. And if we can't walk around as Christians with a smile on our face, then who can? Excited? So, just spend a minute. Pray silently for the person on your left and your right. And then we've all had prayer this morning. We've been prayed for personally. So you've got 1 minute and I'll shut up. Lord, thank you for the wonder of the cross. That as we contemplate and we try and think of what that means, it just blows my mind. You are such an awesome God. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you do for us. The things we know and the things we don't know. Father, set us on fire this morning. Give us something new to take away. Encourage us, strengthen us, so that we can bear fruit in every good work as we grow in the knowledge of you. Amen. So, Elijah prayed for affirmation. He also prayed for God to be glorified. Prove that I have done all this at your command. Answer me so that these people will know that you are the Lord, that you, Lord, are God. Elijah was pressing the point that whatever happened wasn't down to him. He ensured that God rightfully was given all the praise and glory for what was about to happen. And I wonder if in our prayers, no matter what we find ourselves praying, that we remember that the outcome is ultimately down to God. It is God working through the situation. A little less of us, a little more of him. Now as we go through this series on prayer, in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at David. And I want to encourage you this morning to share with us in that service. I would like you to think about a psalm, something maybe that David has written, that has blessed you. And if you find something or something comes to mind, I would ask you that you would come up here and you would share that verse with us all. And tell us why, in maybe 1-2 minutes tops, why that verse has particularly spoken to you. It would be great, wouldn't it, to be able to encourage each other. Which means that you don't have to listen to me spout on for half an hour. So if you'd like to share, then please let me know after service or next week. And if I haven't heard from you, then maybe you're going to hear from me. Because if you think about it, we've all got something to share. God has spoken to each and every one of us. He blesses each and every one of us. And it would be great to share that together with the entire fellowship, don't you think? Okay, so all of you that have just nodded, I have seen you all, and I expect a nice long list. Okay, so think about it, please. It would be fantastic in a couple of weeks if we can just share a bit of Psalms, something that God has blessed you with that you can share with us. You know, there's a song that I remember singing when I was in Sunday school just a couple of years ago. And it was, "In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today." How many know it? Yeah? And there are other verses that echo that. "In our church, Lord, be glorified. In our schools, Lord, be glorified." And we can apply this to all walks of life. "In our homes, Lord, be glorified. In our workplaces, Lord, be glorified. In fact, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, we want you to be glorified today." Hallelujah. So thirdly, from this prayer, what do I see? Elijah, he stood in the gap for the people. He prayed, "Answer me so that these people will know that you are, that you, Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself." Elijah wanted to see people brought back to God. And this is the really awesome thing. Even when we've done wrong, turned our back on God and rejected him, he still loves us and yearns for us to return to him. You know, Jesus stood in the gap for you and for me. He became that bridge between us and God. He sacrificed his all, being obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. What a loving God we have. A preacher was summing up his gospel message to a large auditorium of people when he spots a nun sitting right at the back. Seeking her out, he asks her, "Have you allowed Jesus into your heart?" To which her response was, "Well, actually, no." And after a few seconds of stunned silence, she continues, "But Jesus has allowed me into his." Jesus opens his arms and he invites us into his heart. Our prayer life, you know, really matters. The more we pray, the more we grow and become closer to the Holy Spirit's leading and teaching. So let's continue to pray for each other and stand in the gap for those that need prayers. I'm going to finish this morning just by reading the words of the song that we sang just a few moments ago. "Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you." And I hope that that is a prayer that you can pray, where you want to see everything you do and say giving glory back to God, who loves us for who we are. Amen. We're going to finish this morning by singing a cracking hymn. "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art." Let's stand and let's sing this hymn together. Thank you, Brian. Christ, our only Saviour, dwell within us that we may go forth with the light of hope in our eyes and the fire of inspiration on our lips, your word on our tongue, and your love in our hearts. And let's close by saying the grace together. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.